You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad, when it comes, this is Suey Week, by the way, to the listening audience.
And welcome to Suey Week.
My dad tries to act like he's being like a kind father. Like, hey, how you doing with the Suey? Is everything good? What do you, like, can I help? And, and all he's really asking, is there a back in my day category?
Yep. Well, there hasn't always been.
And it is just, he reaches out with the intent. He wants me to think he's reaching out for me, but it's like, hey, just wanted to make sure that back in my day is happening. It is, did you get this back in my day? What about that one?
I mean, he says he wants to check in, and it's not like they've always happened. That's not my phone. I think that's Greg Cody's phone.
I think it was yours.
Yeah, I don't have a phone.
Still at 50 from last week.
My phone's off. It's on silent.
Hmm. Are you?
Ooh,
I mean,
oh,
it is.
Wow.
Not my phone.
Right in front of me.
Not my phone.
Congratulations, yeah,
but, before then, the dial was turned down.
$5, right, yeah. Please.
I don't have $5. I'm a working man.
$6. put Greg Cody down for
I'm
six.
I'm not a high-powered executive.
$6 IOU. You say there haven't always been in the Sueys a back in my day, and there haven't always been a back in my day. Part of the problem. It's a dying breed. Do you have one today?
No, I had one last week.
It's Tuesday, though.
Right, but it's not your regular Tuesday. It's a Tuesday that starts the week. It's like a Monday.
It feels like a Monday. That's exactly right. It's a holiday week. Yes. It's Suey Week.
Totally fair.
There's too much going on. You know, it's just,
what's going on?
It's a lot. It's the busiest week of the year for Greg Cody. Biggest work week of the year.
Football.
He says football is here. Joe Flacco's kids are making fun of him because they think he sucks because he plays for the Jets.
Yeah, and they're right.
Like, he goes out there and tries to like teach them baseball techniques and things about athletics, and he is saying that they come to him and say, what do you know? You play for the Jets. You suck. He has to go to YouTube and show him his Ravens videos.
Of him winning a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Because, that's great.
Because they think he sucks because he plays for the Jets.
Right. Well, now the Jets are saying that Zach Wilson might be able to play, which is interesting because, Dan, listen, you don't want to give away that you're starting Joe Flacco. So you give the hint, the illusion that maybe it's going to be Zach Wilson. You don't want a team to have 7 days to prepare for Joe.
We will get to the fact that Belichick is in town 5 days early today to prepare for the Heat.
Oh, shit. Dolphins.
I think this is funny, though, because we will get out there and we will criticize whoever it is has done a wrong thing this Sunday. But I will go outside today and be like, how does anyone move in this swamp weather? Like,
it's so bad right now.
Like, how they're here 5 days early. The Patriots are here 5 days early because there's no way by the fourth quarter of playing in this, any human body, no matter how strong, is going to be unbelievably under duress because I can't, and I know you're going to make fun of me, but you can't walk from one place to the other around here without being drenched in sweat.
Yeah, I mean, the Utah players couldn't last a quarter without throwing up against the University of Florida. Now, they ended up surviving the full four quarters. It was a great game, but I have to imagine that the home field of the University of Florida playing at home in those conditions is part of the reason why they beat Utah. I think Utah is a better team, but the conditions, the Dolphins historically have had a September advantage at home. I will say, though, from Bill Belichick, perhaps a dangerous game bringing your team to Miami for 5 days on the eve of the season. I feel like there could be some chicanery and some South Beach flu that happens.
I mean, if you're partying the week before week one, you have a problem. Like, I think the Patriots, maybe for week one, they can just be like, all right, we're going on a business trip.
I don't think this is like basketball. Patriot Way shuts down, and it's just like, it's a military academy, moves from Foxborough to wherever it is that they put it down here. And for 5 days, it's just clamped down. Maybe the first night they get to do something. Maybe.
Belichick don't abide no shenanigans. Come on.
Little dinner, maybe? Early dinner, though.
I am on the record that the Dolphins will win 40-14. I got carried away that one day we all did. Greg Cody said they're going to win the Super Bowl. Stugatz agreed. They rushed to the take.
I stand by it.
I do, too.
Yeah.
ESPN rankings have the Dolphins number 19. It's obscene. It's ridiculous.
What are you laughing at?
I mean, because the over-under wins in Vegas is like 8.5.
Damn right.
Yep.
Vegas takes the over.
Wrong before.
Okay. And you guys, based on nothing, like based on
guts.
Okay. Based on
a feeling.
Based guts on and guile.
Guts and a feeling.
Dad, you thought
the Super Bowl.
Dad, you thought the Dolphins were going to be good the last couple of years too, though. So it's like,
and they had a winning record the past couple of years. They were good. That's what a winning record means. You're a good team.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're a great team.
Mm-hmm.
Means you're a good team. They're a good team. Now they're going to be even better. Playoff better. In the hunt better. Making some noise better.
Wow.
The Dolphins
That's
are back.
Escalating. Wait a minute. Here we go.
Jack,
wait
good
a
leads
minute.
To great.
Wait, so, damn right.
I want to get
be good first.
Yep.
I want to get to Chris Cody and how awful this week with the Sueys is. But I am already tired 1 week in of, you say, the Dolphins are back. They have not even played. An FSU receiver is telling you because of a blocked extra point, FSU is now back. I know Mike Ryan is dying to tell us that if he were not on vacation, he'd be dying to tell us that 43,000 fans at a half-empty stadium is the University of Miami is back, putting 70 on
56,000, Dan.
That was my
get out of here.
There was 56,000 announced for that game.
I was there. I counted every one of them.
Yeah.
What?
What'd you count?
56,000.
Really?
It was legit.
You went. Was that just to tell us that you were there?
I was. I don't know if anybody else in the room went to that game.
No.
Maybe not.
But it was to just tell us that you
eyewitness.
Were there. But you didn't count.
Yes.
Okay. Chris Cody, did you get into it with Mike Ryan? Because Mike
he
Ryan
left the group chat. Right. That was my favorite part of the weekend. I started a group chat with Witty, Stugatz, Dan, and Mike of just a picture of the, because Mike was just like, at least the lower bowl. At start, they're going to, this crowd is going to show up for Mario Cristobal.
Right. Yep.
They will welcome
full.
Him.
It was full.
Dude, we are, okay, we are, you have a standard here that you expect, and maybe it was above that. Maybe it was a little more crowded than a normal Bethune-Cookman game would be. Dude, most college atmospheres are like, the first week a ranked team are like completely packed at
Did
the
you
start
see
of
the
games.
Opening like how Ole Miss's stadium looked at kickoff.
All right, you can maybe handpick little examples. I'm just saying there are like, come on, we can't deny it. It was a little sad him jogging out there.
Unfortunately, Mike Ryan is not here to defend himself. This is an annual tradition. Susan Miller Degnan tweeting out a half empty, half empty stadium, and the U begins.
You can set your watches to that picture.
And it's been 20 years, and it's just it's sad.
Well, you can set your watches to you guys trying to make it a bigger deal than
it
was.
That's the thing.
I mean, you're annoying.
It's actually not that sad. It's not that sad.
Wasn't that
it's
sad.
Bethune-Cookman. I get it. It's not a huge
hotter
game.
Than hell.
Right, it's hotter than hell. But Mike Ryan, he came in the day before and was like,
the thing.
You'll see.
Sell out.
It's different now.
It does.
He
yeah.
thought he was like, Mike was painting a picture like it was going to be like Notre Dame before Bethune-Cookman.
But it is different. 15,000 more people in this market means something. Like, this market stinks for that stuff. And we are very small about, you've made an investment in something in Miami. We will come support it with commensurate investment. Not so much. We wait around. It'll fill up. If they're winning, it'll fill up. But it's not going to happen for Bethune-Cookman because you want to stir echoes from 20 years ago because Mario was an offensive lineman on one of the championship teams. Like, you can throw $100 million, you can throw $100 million at that and contracts and tell us you're getting in the game and 8,000 more people will show up than did the last time.
Right. You want a bad UM crowd? Come this coming Saturday. I'll be there. For Southern Miss with a noon start.
That's right.
That's death. Oh, a noon start is death. The crowd will be 25,000. So in context, 56,000 for Bethune-Cookman, a predictably awful game, I thought was pretty good.
I wish we could have Mario Cristobal's genuine thoughts in his head when he starts running out there right now. Do you think he's having a goosebumps moment of like, this is everything I want it to be?
No, yes,
or he's thinking, wow, section 138 is a little low, a little light.
You cannot have a goosebump moment against Bethune-Cookman, Dan.
No, that's not true.
No way.
I'm sorry.
I think he has the goosebumps as he's like emerging. And then as soon as he looks up and sees the crowd, it's like, okay, I was expecting a little more. I listened to Mike Ryan's local hour yesterday. He told me it was going to be much better than this.
Yes, he said it's going to be buzzing.
We have the echo.
Stugatz, let's talk about this for a second, because in your removal in Parkland and distance from these things,
yes,
like the emotion of Cuban American coming to lead Miami at a time that Miami has announced it's getting back in the big business of football. They might not be back, but they're spending like they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they've never done that before. And for him to lead that would, of course, be emotional for him after, and incidentally, before you get too cynical and mocking, as he tends to the health of his parents in this market, he came to Miami because Miami means something to him. So being a part of the first step and it feeling perhaps a little bit less dead than it has for the last 20 years, I'm not going to be cynical about saying that wasn't emotional for him because it was Bethune-Cookman.
Right. I agree. All right. Totally.
That's fair. I mean, it is his first, you know, his first game as the head coach of the University of Miami. So I take back what I said. I think you're right. I stand corrected. That must have been a goosebump moment for him. But he did look up at 134 and was like, "What the hell, man?"
Both things can be true. Both things can be true. I don't. That it was imperfect. Yes, perhaps he imagined 80,000 people there, 90,000 people there. He coached his ass off on the sidelines. He was mad at an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, and everyone enjoys that he was yelling at the team and disciplining them. But Greg Cody, you were there.
I was an eyewitness.
Mm-hmm.
The feel of that place when it is half empty or like that, it might not be sad, but it doesn't feel like big college football all over the country.
No, it doesn't. It was half a big college football game against an FCS level team in Bethune-Cookman that was awful last season. I will say this, if we're going to quantify this. A few years ago was the last time they played Bethune-Cookman. It also happened to be the debut game for another Miami guy with Cuban ties, Manny Diaz. The crowd then was right around 50,000, so it was about 6,000 more, if you're looking to quantify. There is excitement about this UM team, but it's also understood that the first game of the year is September 17th at Texas A&M.
It's South Florida excitement. It's like, we're going to tweet about it. If we talk to our friends, we're excited about it. I'll go to the big game. I'm not going to go to Bethune. I'm not going to actually go to Bethune-Cookman game.
Wait, Greg, so help me out, because you're right. The first game, the season really starts at College Station against Texas A&M. The following week, they play Middle Tennessee at home.
Right. Another bad crowd.
But if they beat Texas A&M and they're 3-0, how many people are showing up to that game?
They might get 50,000.
It's really
Middle
hot.
Tennessee.
Man, it's
at that point, they could be a top 10 team.
Do not.
No, that's why I'm asking. Yeah. I understand.
Oh, yeah. If they beat A&M, they're a top 10 team.
You guys need to not forget that our allegiances to sports fandom can be knocked off by 9 extra degrees. This market and these teams have to earn it with these fans. They're not just going to come flocking back. Like, there is some cost to the disrepair of so many years of losing and mismanagement. People will endure only so much to fill up your stadium and parking and everything else. These teams are going to have to earn it. And Miami as a city, as a commerce center, makes you earn it. Miami's investment is going to be a loser at the beginning. They're going to pour hundreds of millions of dollars on the front end into something that's not going to immediately manifest in 40,000 season tickets.
Well, I think their season ticket base has gone up, but I do think that there's a couple of things here. One is that I think the feeling that Mike was describing, he might have been talking about a sellout, but it was more like within the UM football fan community, Saturday was sort of a destination point, right? Of your program caring, investing resources, really good coach, really good assistants. It was sort of the beginning of a new era, and that was really important as a feeling within the community. But I also think that, like, to Chris's point about getting on side, you don't have an alumni base really in Miami to lean on. Like, major programs like Ohio State do, where you have hundreds of thousands of alumni. A lot of people come to the University of Miami from out of state, and then they go back out of state after they're done with college. You have to galvanize the sports fan community in a similar way to you, like the Miami Heat or the Miami Dolphins or the Miami Marlins. You have to galvanize a sports community to come out to a game that didn't go to the school. That's completely different than most cities.
So you're saying, like, teams like Michigan and Ohio State, you're saying that their alumni base largely live around there. So a big chunk of that 100,000 at Michigan Stadium is alumni that just live there. I mean, is that necessarily, like, people just leave here, like, when they go to Miami? There's people that go to Michigan live in Miami and then they leave after it. Is it really that? Is there data behind that, that people don't? I don't know. I just feel like, are we making up a stat right now because the crowds are sad and we're
How many in-state kids go to the University of Miami? How many South Florida kids go to UM? I know I'm not certain. I understand what Chris is asking
there. What do you guys want to do here? The crowds aren't bad, and you want to exonerate South Florida on this one for all the reasons that the crowds aren't better than they are? South Florida either wants something that is glittery and stylish and fashionable, or something that really wins. What Mike Ryan said that was accurate is the Orange Bowl was a dump. Didn't feel like a dump because they didn't lose for 10 seasons in the Orange Bowl. So You watch. If they do something like that for 10 seasons, if they're at the top of college football, at the top of this business, that stadium will fill up. It doesn't matter to me whether on campus, off campus, any of that nonsense. I'm broken that Mike Ryan's not in here today, because not only would he have lost this back and forth with Chris Cody, but good God, he lost both ends of his hater parlay in the most unimaginable way possible. He hated on Florida. Look at how that game ended. So that he, as part of his parlay, he had Utah and he was giving points. So he lost that one. And then FSU, LSU, he was telling us he did not understand why it is that LSU was only favored by 3.
So he has to eat toilet paper now, eh?
Well, he's not here and we're going to have to hold him to it.
All right.
But a grid of death punishment is being paid today. Greg Cody of the Miami Herald is recreating the Lil Nas X pregnancy photo shoot.
Oh, boy.
He did not know what he was signing up for. Chris Cody, he came in today. He was lamenting. This is what Greg does. He takes the grid punishment, doesn't know what he's doing, and now today he's like, I've gained some weight recently. Yep. I don't want anyone to see me with my shirt off.
The way his shame works is so weird. He'll whip out that toe, with that black toe, his big toe. He'll whip that out with no shame. Yeah. But he's not even that fat, and he's so self-conscious about his stomach, but yet he'll whip out that black toe. Like, we have no idea why it's black.
You know what? Don't do that. My former washboard physique has taken on a couple of lbs. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the holidays. I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm. It's the holidays.
What's the earliest you can say? It's the holidays.
Labor Day.
I mean, of course, it's a big weekend. I mean,
I gained 7 pounds yesterday. What can I tell you? You didn't.
Yeah.
Everybody did.
Have the holidays started?
No, when they haven't started.
Yeah, they started.
Tell me when they start. Yes, Gotz is right.
First week of the football season. I mean,
I'm playing the holiday card.
It's a different holiday. It's all of us. That's all of us greeting football with a big bear hug. We got Rutgers punting on 4th and goal.
Oh, it was great.
That was incredible.
That was not the punt of the weekend. The punt of the weekend was South Carolina State on Thursday night against UCF. The guy ran 12 yards past the line of scrimmage. It was 4th and 19. He sweeps to the right. It's like, oh my God, maybe he's going to make this. And then as soon as he's about to get hit, he just decides to punt the ball 12 yards past the line of scrimmage.
It was rugby. He was playing a totally different sport. Yes, he decided 4th and 19, he decided to punt after running for 12 yards. And it was strange.
I posit that the punt of the week, I forget which team it was, where a punt was blocked in return for a touchdown, the punt was blocked by the punter's teammate.
Should I make imaging for punt of the week?
We should do this every week. Yeah, well, the punt of the week.
I don't know. See, Chris, I feel for you because I want to do who was wrongest. I want to do that. I think it would be funny headed into any weekend to have just sound from a random person and frame it with the grammatically incorrect wrongest. But you, Chris, I wanted to get back to how brutal your Suey's week is because you have gone through a lot of stuff. We're going to play some of it here over the course of the week, but we're also, there are like 11 categories. It's an unspooling of insanity, Chris, correct? You hate the Suey's right now.
I do hate the Suey's. And do I hate them? It's just one of those things where I get so, you ever seen the scene in Princess Bride, the quicksand scene? That's me. That's me the last couple weeks. It's just, I'm trying to get out and it's just, oh wait, I got to do this for this category. It's a lot. It's kind of like
Billy's. We get the concept of quicksand.
Yeah. But I just had to tell you that specific scene. Where's quicksand? It doesn't really, there's not a lot of movie examples of quicksand.
Right. Yeah, it should be more.
It should be used more in film because it's a scary thing. Imagine walking through the woods.
Yeah. It was a big thing in Scooby-Doo. It was. Yeah. They were always stuck in quicksand.
I always thought I was a guy that could get out of quicksand.
I did too. Where do you find quicksand? I wouldn't know where to go.
You guys just stunned me by pointing out that without much fanfare, it would appear that quicksand as a movie vehicle, not in cartoons, appears to have vanished.
It has.
I don't remember the last time in a movie I saw the dramatic effect of someone sinking into quicksand, which does seem horrible.
Right. And a misnomer. It should be slow sand because you sink by degrees.
Very slowly.
There's nothing quick about it.
Great point.
Nothing quick about it.
Mm-hmm.
What would have been the last big movie that had quicksand as a plot twist in it? But anyway, it's a terrible week for you, correct, Chris? And you are tired. You say you don't hate the Suey's.
I just by the time I've heard them so many times, it's not making me laugh anymore. It's one of those things where it's once you've looked at your art. Not my art, but something you're working on so much, it's you get numb to it. So it's is this still funny? Should I cut this? So it's difficult. But there are some clips that it doesn't matter how many times we play it. I hear them, they make me laugh every single time. And I'm trying to send these to Witty as I talk. That's why it sounds like I'm multitasking. And here they are. So he should have them now. And they are two sounds. It's from the mistake category. I think this year, mistake is our best picture. A lot of little mistakes.
Yeah.
It's a category that started as just Dan mistakes, and it's blossomed out. We are all making mistakes now. We're all getting old. So there's two clips, Woody. I just sent them to you. It is from the mistake category. One is Poppy Levitard and one is Roy Bellamy. I have heard these clips 62 times over the last few weeks. I don't work that efficiently, but I've heard these a lot.
Which is better here? The Roy one? Is it Roy mistake?
Well, all right. I'll give you the premises of them, what my dad is going to say, and you tell me which one you want first. It's Poppy screwing up a poll question that he was asked, and Roy choking on the smoke that he claims to want all of.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, Jesus.
But where, Chris, what? So 11 categories, and what are some of your favorites?
Musical performance. With our musical and some of the listener submissions, musical performance, and then some of our just off the cuff shipping containers singing rock songs to Roy. Musical performance is strong as always. Dismissals was so loaded this year that we have, it's usually just all together with Stugatz and all of us. This year we have Stugatz's dismissals, we have everybody else's dismissals, we have a ton of limited fakes. Holy shit, did Jessica have a lot of limited fakes this year. She just every day she poops out three limited fakes, and Mameen had a bunch. The limited fake, I had to make cuts. Usually in years past, most of this stuff makes it. This year I had to cut stuff. At the end of the week, we're going to probably put out a cutting room floor of this is the shit that didn't make it.
But you feel really good about something when what is on the cutting room floor hurts. It hurts.
Some of it hurts. Some of it, I'm like, this needs to go. This Amin doing the cookie. Amin and Jessica doing the Cookie Monster. Like, yeah. This has to go.
All right. So what is this? What is this clip? And we will do a couple of Suey's today. We'll do throughout the week. We will do a couple of Suey categories. But what is this one today?
This is a teaser for later in the week from our Best Picture category. This is a Roy mistake of him choking on the smoke he claims to want all of.
Roy Bellamy chokes on the smoke that he claims to want all of.
Yeah, we want that smoke. And yeah, sure, we may have choked on that smoke this year, but guess what? We're going to come back next season. We're going to get in that smoke there again, and we're going to take
know.
Them out.
I don't know what that means.
That's he sounded very
that's
confident.
Pathetic trash talk.
I'm sorry.
We want all the smoke, but
we're going to collect the smoke that is in our lungs.
Yes.
That's right.
We're going to mouth kiss you, exhale it into your lungs, and you're going to choke.
Roy, that's right. Your trash talk. You were the most repressed and least confident leader of an army charge I have ever heard about wanting the smoke. You wanted the smoke, you ran into the smoke, we all started coughing, none of it made sense anymore, and we lose. We lose the battle.
Yeah, we retreated, but you know what? We're gonna come back next year.
No, I don't want to hear about it next year.
Oh, I'm voting for that.
I went on the ice this year when they lost the cup, though. Yeah.
And now
he could have handled that smoke
and now
in Colorado.
Here's Poppy just getting a poll question read to him, and, he makes a little mistake with it.
Poppy Levitard's hilarious mistake involving a poll question.
Should a woman in her 20s be flattered or insulted by being called madam?
What are your thoughts here, Poppy? Flattered or insulted if you call a woman in her 20s madam?
Well, I would say that she should be flattened.
Flattened. She should be flattened. Wasn't one of the options.
But
she should be flattened was the choice. I mean,
quite a heel turn from Ted Kravitz of Sky Sports.
It would be terrible, yes. If all of a sudden you were saying, madam, and then the next thing that happened is a cement mixer or something just rolled right over her and flattened her.
And on top of that, we have a bunch of Dan mistakes, a bunch of Stugatz mistakes to go with all those. I'm telling you, mistakes is great.
What are your mistakes?
I got a few mistakes.
You better.
My 11? Mistakes are mainly doing terrible visual things on podcasts. Like, I did magic on a podcast. I did a thing where I wanted you guys to read my lips on a podcast. Remember between Fight Me or Failure? I was like, read my... Yeah, yeah. So I failed too. I put my stuff in there too, Roy.
All right.
11 categories, you are saying. And which ones are we doing today, Whittingham?
To confirm, I believe we're doing Stugatz dismissals.
And limited fake.
Wow.
Wow.
Who was that announcer, by the way? Big Talk day. About a velvet voice.
Yeah.
Wow. I thought I recognized it. I wasn't sure.
Same.
Shockinger!
You feel good about what you've produced this 25 minutes
You're
so
really
far?
Good. Yeah, exceptionally good.
You are.
I can't get the grin off my face.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Levitard.
Why do you carry around $2,000 unless you're paying off a referee or something?
Whoa!
What happened?
What happened?
What happened then?
I didn't imply that. Doc Rivers is like a saint. One of the great coaches of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Stugatz.
Put on the poll, Guillermo. First of all, is Greg Cody as a journalist spectacularly reckless? Put that on a poll first. And then secondarily, put on the poll as well, is Doc Rivers paying referees?
I never said he was.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
We're presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
football is upon us, and
my picks are coming. They're in the incubator.
He's got the Dolphins doing well.
They're Super in Bowl. The incubator. Yeah. My picks:
15-2. You got the Dolphins.
Yeah.
What do you got? 13-4.
No, no, I haven't decided yet. 15-2 is a bit of a stretch.
12-5.
I'm thinking 11-6, with a possibility of 12-5.
Right.
Yeah, they're going to be
winning
really
the Super
good.
Bowl. Yes.
Oh, listen, what's Buffalo done?
Nothing.
Right? Nothing. Right. Zero. Buffalo's done nothing.
Come on.
More than the Dolphins.
Come on, man. What do you mean? What has Buffalo done?
Buffalo's
we all
done nothing.
Regard Buffalo as a good football team going into the season. All of us would be surprised. None of us would be surprised if Buffalo is a betting favorite to get to the Super Bowl.
They are.
And all of us would be surprised if anyone were out there saying, I think Buffalo is going to be a train wreck or a bad team. They are the cream of the division. The Dolphins have to rise up to where Buffalo is.
Correct. And can. I'm just saying, historically, Buffalo has accomplished nothing that makes you think that they're going to be the Super Bowl champion. They are the betting favorite, Buffalo is. And Josh Allen is all that. I get all that. But they have to prove it. Prove it.
But the Dolphins have to prove it more than Buffalo has to prove it. By leaps and bounds, you can't say the Dolphins are going to win the Super Bowl and Buffalo has to prove it.
What a sports radio argument. The Dolphins have more to prove than the Bills do.
He's basically Donald Sterling the Bills. What have they done? It's like that.
Well, he's right.
Anderson Cooper's been decent, so have the Bills.
They've made the playoffs. They've won the division. They went to an AFC championship game.
Look, man, this is what...
I don't even think they did.
The Dolphins and Buffalo have paralleled each other. For 20 years, the Dolphins have not won a playoff game. For 17 years, Buffalo did not get to the playoffs. Those are enormously long streaks in a league where half the teams get to the playoffs. And after that, Buffalo got Josh Allen, and it got fixed, and they are a Super Bowl contender, and they've been good. They've been a good football team for 4 or 5 years. The Dolphins have not been. The Dolphins have not been. You say they've been good because they've been a game or two over 500, but Buffalo has made it to the playoffs and is clearly ascending. For Buffalo, if Buffalo doesn't get to 12-5 this season, I'm thinking most people think that's a disappointment.
Correct. Right. But you're talking about flimsy expectations, not reality. I'm talking about what will the reality be. I'm just saying right now Buffalo is being oversold and the Dolphins are being grossly undersold. I'm not a betting man, but 8.5 wins for the Dolphins, I would fly on that over.
Wait a minute. Where are you getting Dolphins grossly undersold? Not in this market, they're not. Like this, what is happening around here? There are a couple of people around the country who are looking at the Dolphins and saying they're a sleeper team because they're saying they see the possibility of fireworks on offense. And they're just, all they're doing really is saying, well, the Dolphin defense was pretty good last year. I assume it'll be relatively good, even though those things don't tend to transfer from year to year, neither does health. But okay. And also, Dolphins will be invigorating, interesting on offense. McDaniel will fix some things. The offensive line will be better. And so that's the analysis being done on the Dolphins.
Well, you have a coach saying he's the most accurate quarterback he's ever seen. You have Hill, you have Waddle, you have Gesicki, you have the makings of a really good team. It doesn't always have to be a buildup like it is for Buffalo, where, you know, we take these steps. Sometimes a team can surprise and find themselves in the Super Bowl. It can happen like that. They can go from never making it to the playoffs to all of a sudden having a really good team.
But the probabilities do not favor that. The probabilities favor one of the teams that has been good for years because they've got their quarterback situation figured out. We can assume Buffalo, if they get help from the quarterback position, will be great for the next 10 years. You cannot say anything like that about the Dolphins. This thing can implode a month into the season.
I mean, they're already without Byron Jones at the start of the season.
Four games.
You're presuming that the Dolphins will carry on being as good at defense as they were under Brian Flores, who I do think deserves a fair bit of the credit for how good they were on defense. They also had a very fluky ability to generate turnovers, which is not something that is replicable year over year, the math has proven. So you're already, the Dolphins' case is already predicated upon they're already good at defense, therefore they will continue to be good at defense, which can be a faulty assumption. But then you're also assuming that they will make a massive step forward offensively, which they've made signings towards improving, but until you see it, how can you have any confidence in it?
The reason they are 8.5 over under, The reason that Greg Cody is here saying swirling with these visions of delight in his head, it's going to be easy, and Stugatz and him are the Super Bowl. The reason it's 8.5 is what he just said. Defense doesn't just transfer from year to year, and then you add offense. Voila! I've gone from a team that's almost in the playoffs to 6 games better. That's not how that works.
Yeah, but sometimes your defense, like, I understand what you guys are saying. Defenses will kind of go up and down, but sometimes you just have a good defense, and maybe the Dolphins do. Okay. And Dan, when you if you factor in the fact that we think they have a good defense, plus you added a cheetah, I mean, that has all the makings.
But you realize, I mean, you may indeed be right on this, but you understand that the having of all the makings is a contrivance that isn't where the betting money is.
It means nothing.
The betting money is on 8.5 games is the number they will win, according to people who win or lose money on figuring these things out.
Right. Dan, didn't you have the Dolphins last week making the playoffs? Like, you think they're going to be good, too.
I know what happened. My dad and Stugatz have gone flying by Dan, so now Dan has to be the guy that's like, whoa, guys, relax.
You're not going to pull me back. You're not bringing
me
back.
But this is the position.
They're winning the damn thing.
This is position this show puts me in.
Love a wet blanket.
Perpetually, yes.
No.
I can
join us.
A couple of weeks ago, Dan's like, I'm kind of big on the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And then Scott and my dad
was crazy.
Go flying by them.
Yeah,
that's right.
Super Bowl, Dan. Clearly Super Bowl favorites.
And so where do we go from there? As a show, like when you're 4 days before the season, you haven't played a game, and the two clowns you do the show
they've been looking good in the preseason,
Dan. They're going to win the Super Bowl.
Say back to back.
What choices do I have before they played?
All right. So you had them
play the game, go 40-14
undefeated.
40-14 against New England last week.
That's as far as I'm
at
going.
Ravens.
And it's a ridiculous
Ravens.
Prediction. No,
at Ravens.
I'm not doing that yet.
Lamar's playing. Nope. Stupid. But
we're almost
playing.
Sponsoring this segment, Dan. We're going to have to fit in or fit out here soon.
My dad is not faking it with the Dolphins because he took Tua in our fantasy league way too high. I think
someone took Tua with the 4th pick in my draft.
Hello.
In the first round.
I love that.
I swear to God.
Upside. What is major happening? Upside for Tua this year. I mean, seriously.
Here's the definition of ridiculous. The definition of ridiculous is that an 8.5 over-under means the betting public thinks the Dolphins are going to be a 500 team, which is impossible with a 17-game season, grant you, but 8.5 times 2 is 17. That means the bet is that the Dolphins are going to be worse than the past two seasons, even though they added Tyreek Hill, even though they have their best running game in years, even though they have an above-average defense that is returning all 12 people with the most defensive snaps last year, even though they signed Terron Armstead, the best free agent available, they've had a great offseason, and now you're telling me they're going to be worse than the past 2 years? Ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Impossible.
Because the Dolphins have never had great off seasons before, and it doesn't work out.
They've never signed Tyreek Hill before.
This is different.
They've never signed Tyreek Hill before.
Traded for Brandon Marshall.
Just Nick Saban.
He ain't Tyreek Hill.
Woody, one of the great delights of my career here, because the local hour has always been the thing that has mattered to me most, is that we arrive now at the place where this is a delusionally homer Dolphin hour, and the country is listening to what is happening now because we're a national show that also does local stuff, and they're like, what the f*** is the matter with those guys who think they're just going to waltz into football and they get an offensive lineman and Tyreek Hill and Stugatz and Cody are just in consensus. Mm-hmm. We're going to win the Super Bowl. Yes, of course. Of course. The Super Bowl will be won. No one has played a game. They haven't watched any preseason football. There have been like 4 people hired and they're like, yep, Super Bowl. Easy. Done. Do we even have to play the season? This must sound so absurd to all the other markets listening to this show.
I think there are some people that are a bit higher on the Dolphins, but like week 3 is home against the Bills.
Yeah.
Week 4 is at the AFC champion Bengals.
Yeah, first month, very tough.
That
first
gets
month.
Easy.
I know, but
gets very easy after that,
I know,
Chris.
But if they don't beat those teams, then they're not who you say they are.
You come
they're
out
not
of
a
those,
team that's making an improvement.
You try to get through those games, those 4 games at 2-2. And then you have like the easiest schedule in the NFL.
Not like literally 5-12,
right.
The easiest schedule.
Yes.
Well, then 13 picks up again. We've
I'll even take
this.
1-3. Hey, 1-3 start?
No,
no problem.
No,
no problem.
If this is the team,
a little 1-3. Wow, a little
1-3 Please. Like that.
Yeah.
1-3 start, 7-4 like this. That.
All right. No, you got to go like Tua and that. Tua to start the season.
There you go.
That's fine.
Tua and Tua.
That's fine.
Yeah. Tua and Tua.
What
do you got to say about that?
Right.
You just got to get to the dance, guys. All right. That's all you got to do. Get to the playoffs and be healthy. You know what I mean? There's no point in winning 16 games in the regular season. Unnecessary. Don't need to do it.
Do you know Josh Allen has almost twice as many touchdowns against the Dolphins than he has against any other opponent? He has 21 touchdowns in 8 games against the Dolphins.
What's
They're 7-1.
Yeah.
What great. Have the Bills proven?
Mm-hmm.
Greg Cody was just pantomiming to me and I think to no one else, pointing at his chest. And what I can see reading his lips was him saying, Tua and Tua. When they start the first month, Tua and Tua, that's mine. I own that. Yes. I copyright it. If Thank anyone you. Tries to steal it from me, no one can have it. The Dolphins, after 1 month, will be Tua and Tua.
No Correct. One's ever made the Tua wordplay joke.
Yeah, that's right.
Oof.
Your voice was doing so good
$5.
This morning, too. Oh. We were actually just talking
about
here.
No, the voice
here.
Still is fine. No. It's fine, but occasionally some phlegm right. comes up. What can I do? I smoke heaters.
We criticize you a lot. We were talking in here. You can hear that the dead shows are done. Like, yeah, you sound so much better this morning.
They're getting out of me. Yeah, they are. They're finally getting out of me.
Until that phlegm. But until that.
Woo. Listen, they're always in me. It's somewhere deep inside of me. They'll always be there. The Hell phlegm yeah. will always be there. But
it's like a love song.
But the summer is working its way out of me.
Love song to phlegm.
It's always in me. I love It'll my phlegm. Always be yeah. there. It's yeah. like the most emotional of things will always be connected. Right. Me and the lack of health and care for my career.
You know, like in those commercials where there's like.
They sound good
like,
today, they said.
Anthropomorphic. Morphic toe fungus that's like trying to get out of your toes.
It's always there.
Yeah.
And I feel like we can do a similar thing with Stugatz's phlegm.
I love scratch. The reason I don't take care of my athlete's foot is I love the feeling of itching my athlete's
oh,
foot.
No.
It feels so
oh,
good.
No.
Right between my man's feet.
Occasionally, I love scratching the athlete's foot.
Oh, yeah. No,
thank you.
No.
Itching in general is a great feeling.
No. Underrated feeling.
Yeah. I'm with you. A good itch. Until the athlete's foot. Itching, I mean, we all good.
No, scratching.
We love a good itch.
No, I love a good itch.
Either.
Right.
Yeah.
I hate this conversation.
And if you fix it, you can't say, these dogs are barking.
You're right.
What's your favorite area to scratch?
Come on, man. Ooh, the reason you don't get rid question. Of your athlete's foot is because you like to scratch the webbing?
Well, I put tenactin on like 2 of the 3 toes that have it, and I leave that 1 toe there just to itch it. It feels great. I'm telling you, with a sock on, it feels fantastic. The crotch would be my answer, by the way.
Yeah. I like a good lower back scratch. Let's all do it right now. Put your hand.
It's dangerous.
Let's not go. We're not going ridiculous here. We're not talking about butt. Like a well above your butt. Like where the bullseye would be.
Okay.
The bullseye. Oh, what are you doing?
Bullseye.
What are you doing?
Lewis gets it.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
We all know.
What? Why do you want us to scratch?
No, I'm saying that feels good. Good. Feel it. Yeah. That, it feels good.
What do you think the bullseye is?
If you have to ask Billy.
His entire conversation.
Really? You're going to describe that region of your body to anybody in the world as your or anyone else's bullseye. Really?
How else was I supposed to describe
your
it?
Your lower back.
Bullseye.
Just say, we knew what you meant. You said scratch
your back. I didn't want you to think.
Bullseye.
I didn't want someone going like, you know, in the butt. Like,
well, that would be the bullseye.
That would be the bullseye, the butthole.
That's what we all thought you meant.
They don't know what the bullseye is. They don't know. Billy's bullseye is the butt. Hell yeah.
Why did you do this?
Yes, why?
I should have just never said the bullseye.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm going to kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.